Winston Churchill, actually, he's one of my favorite guys in history. He had a quote. He said, "Courage is the finest of human qualities." Whoops. "Courage is the finest of human qualities because it is a quality that guarantees all others." And what does he mean by this? Really, courage is how we achieve all other good qualities. We lack the courage to do what is right. We're not going to fulfill and actually go forward for what we're supposed to do. And I'm going to explain why I think this is really important nowadays. Just to give you kind of an idea, I mean, we see the things that are going on in this world and all the hardships. And I thought that courage is something that I think maybe like 20 years ago, courage may not have been quite as... I think everyone needs courage, but I think now everyone really needs to be courageous for the things that are happening in this world. Now is not a time of weakness. Now is a time of standing up for what's right. So that's why I felt compelled to talk about courage. And I'd like to show how it's important in our aspects of our lives, every aspect of our lives, too. The first example I like to talk about is Rahab the harlot. I actually feel kind of bad for Rahab the harlot because she's always known as a harlot. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be going down as history as that. The great thing is the fact that she's one of the ladies mentioned in Hebrews 11, so that's kind of cool. She's also lineage to, well, not lineage, but she's also a part of Israelites and stuff, so that was pretty nice. But I like to talk about her. She's also known in Hebrews as a woman who is full of faith. But if you look at her, she's also a person full of courage, too. And the thing I like about Rahab, the reason I used her is because a lot of times, I like David. David was a cool guy, too. Daniel was great. These great guys that we think of in history. But there's always, the small people, like the shopkeepers. Rahab, I think Josephus said that she was an innkeeper. So she just had a business. She's a regular person. She wasn't like a king or a queen or anything amazing. Just like, myself, I'm just a regular worker. None of you are like, I'm sure, like royalty or whatever. So I use her because she's kind of like a real-world example. If you look in Joshua 2, and we're going to read 15 verses about her, her life, and starting in verse 1, "And Joshua the son," "Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." But what's happening here is, of course, Joshua and he was the general, and the Israelites were about to cross over the Jordan. And what they wanted to do is some reconnaissance. So they sent two guys out on a reconnaissance mission to go into Jericho to see what was going on. And it's very smart to see what kind of people you're supposed to be fighting against. So they sent these two guys out, and they lodged with Rahab's house. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." The king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are coming to thee, which are entered into thine house, they're into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, "Thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not when they were." Pausing here to look at what's happening. So the king found out that there were men that came in. Obviously, he wants to get rid of them, eliminate them, because they're going to give him the strategic information about their city. So he has to eliminate them. They hide, and Rahab hides these men. Continuing on, "And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, the men went out, whither the men, when I wot not, pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." So she lied to the king. Obviously, this isn't what happened, as we'll find out later. "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." So she hid them in her roof underneath some straw. "And the men pursued after them to the Jordan and to the fords." This isn't a car either. This is geographical. "And they came soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, and they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them unto the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that Yahweh hath given you the land, and that your terror is fall upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how Yahweh dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Which I actually find kind of interesting in this verse, that she was the one who actually did something, and everyone else was lacking courage. I find that interesting. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by Yahweh, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, to deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be when Yahweh hath given us the land, we will deal kindly with and truly with thee. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, so she dwelt upon the wall. So what happened, you know, with the situation, the king found out, she hid them, she let them down and saved their lives, because she realized that, Yahweh was helping these people, and she wanted to make sure that she was on the right side. What are some things that we can gather from what courage is from this one example? I mean, I could use many examples in the Bible, but I just use this one example here. Courage is really acting in despite of fear. It's not, you're always going to have some sort of fear when you do something, especially if it's something stressful like this. Rahab could have been killed. It's not an easy situation. Kings, in that day can do anything they want. It's not like nowadays where there's due process and you have to go to a court and, you're tried before your peers. Well, back in the day, if the king said you're dead, you're dead. So there was no, he was jury and executioner. So this is a serious matter of actually hiding these men, lying to them. She was risking her life, and not only her life, but also family lives too. If you look at Haman in Esther, not only Haman died and was hung, but his family was hung. So when you did something wrong, sometimes it didn't just affect you, it affected your entire family too. So she was risking a lot just by doing this. And I'm sure it was a very fearful situation for her. I can't imagine Rahab just taking this lightly. She was in a very tight spot. And we all have, she had fear, and we all have fear in everything that is kind of needs courage. Maybe it's like a fear of failure that we have, or, fear of going to our boss and, like, asking for time off. I don't know if anyone had trouble with that, asking for time off. I know in my other previous jobs I used to have some trouble sometimes. But just because we have that fear, it doesn't mean that we can't overcome them. Like I said, maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a fear of loneliness, a fear of humiliation. The point is that acting towards that goal overcomes that fear. It's having an obstacle, but seeing the reward that's bigger. The fear is always going to be in the way of doing something courageous, but you just kind of have to act beyond that. The salvation that Rahab looked at was knowing that her family would be saved. If you notice that she asked for help, she wanted to make sure her family was saved. Same thing with us. If we're in a difficult situation, I mean, if you're alive, you have problems. Everyone has problems. The point is knowing that Yahweh rewards those who serve him. Even if it may be a challenging situation, maybe it's a relationship problem, you don't really like having to deal with that kind of stuff. Knowing that Yahweh will reward those who serve him is really what we need to focus on. Courage is also knowing what is right and doing it. If you look at this situation, Rahab did lie to the king, but was it right to follow the king's order? The king asked her where the men were. Now, she could have said, the men are, I put them up there, go get them, And she could have saved her life. But then Yahweh still would have invaded the city because it was his promise to give him the land. So she really wouldn't have saved herself anyways, just temporarily. Same thing with us. If we don't stand up for what's right and do what's right all the time, yeah, we may buy ourselves some temporary alleviation of the pain, but eventually it's going to catch up to us. You know, it's eventually going to get us. It's like, you know, the people nowadays who keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and thinking that that things aren't going to happen. Well, even if you, like, I think the best example I think of is Stalin. Stalin, I can't stand reading about this guy because he killed millions of people and he got to live a long life. It just irks me a lot. But knowing that everyone has a judgment, everyone has to pay the piper eventually. You can't, it's better to pay the cost now and the rewards later than to not do anything now and pay later. So being back to Rahab, was it right to listen to the king or was it right to save the lives? The greater good was saving these men's lives. Rahab knew it was right. Like I said, Rahab knew that Yahweh was allowing the nations to be defeated. So Rahab obeyed the one that was greater. Not the human king, but the heavenly king. And that's something I think we always need to remember, is that there's a higher power, whether it's someone above us. We always have to remember that there's a greater power that we have to answer to, whether it's a government, whether it's a boss, whether it's whoever it is. You know, every one of us has a brain to think. You know, we all know the scriptures. We all need to make sure that we're not just going with the flow. You know, Rahab could have just listened to what King said. We had to think for ourselves and know what's right. You know, we all know the Bible. Every one of us here, I mean, obviously everyone here knows at least a bit of the Bible, but otherwise you wouldn't be here, because not many people know about the Feast of Tabernacles. So you kind of have a little bit higher knowledge of what the Bible is. But knowing the Bible and doing the Bible are big differences. You know, I think of the Greeks that just love talking with Paul about these Greek theories. Well, they just like being philosophers, but they didn't apply much of it. They just like to talk about the different stuff. But are you really applying doing those things? If we're not applying it, then knowing it is, you might as well just fill your head with something else. Because if you're not applying what you're knowing, then there's really no point in knowing it. It must convict us to act. You know, having the knowledge is something that makes our, you know, convicts us to want to do something. It's what our faith is. Terry was talking yesterday about marriages, and there's really no difference if you look at the Christian versus non-Christian or religious versus non-religious or whatever. There's not really that much of a difference in ratio of who gets divorced and who doesn't. That's kind of a strange thing. You would think those who are religious would be less likely of divorcehood, but it's because they don't have those, many of those who proclaim to be religious don't inculcate those principles into their lives. Well, this time's running fast. courage is getting out of one's comfort zone. That's another thing that is a principle of it. It's doing what's right even though it may not be easy. Like I said, it would have been easy for Rahab to turn in the men. It wouldn't have been any risk to her. She would have just been following orders, just not really thinking about what was going on and just doing what the king said. But like I said, at least in the moment there wasn't. Because she got out of her comfort zone, she was actually able to preserve her family and her life. What about us? Sometimes it's uncomfortable to do what is right, to be courageous, to stand up to a boss, to be responsible when others are not, to go against the stream of society, of life. You know, we have to be strong. We can't cave in to what the rest of the world is doing, even though it may be uncomfortable, even though you may not look cool, you know, even though you may not fit in with everybody. Life isn't really about fitting in. You know, everyone wants to be in a certain group, and everyone wants to, you know, be liked. Just, you know, even the most rough people like to be liked. But you have to know who you want to have like you. And getting out of one's comfort zone, sometimes you have to, yeah, sometimes you have to make people not like you quite as much. And that can be kind of uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Courage is facing your actions with faith. It said Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews 11. And it's because she had this faith, because she acted on her faith, because she had the courage, because she believed in Yahweh, that's what saved her. It wasn't because she just went with the flow. She acted upon her faith. And because she had the courage to do that, that's why she's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. We must have the same faith, because Yahweh will reward those who do such things. Life is hard. We do live in a corrupt world. We all have issues. Some people maybe have bouts of depression. Maybe you have lack of patience with others. But one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about courage is, you got the stuff going on with ISIS that's on the rise. You have homosexuality becoming more popular. I'm seeing a news report. Like, every time I look at my MSN page, there's always a gay couple that are showing wedding pictures or something, or I'm so happy that my significant other and I are getting married. Now we're having a kid for some reason, and it's really disturbing seeing the stuff that's going on. And then you see all these commercials on TV of people having depression and all these psychological problems, and the government that seems to be pervading our lives, and there seems to be a lot of bad things happening. People are losing hope and faith, so they're turning to a lot of drugs and stuff. There's a lot of corrupt things going on in the world. Morality is pretty much all-time low. Terry was talking yesterday about TV, and it's horrendous looking at it. Morality is really in decay. All you have to do is just watch the news a little bit. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4 talks about stuff like this. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, listen to some of this stuff and just, I think that every age has had some of this, but if you look at it, you think about our age, it's so much of it nowadays. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You look at so much of the culture, and the men are depicted as knowing nothing and are weak, and the women are just, they complain about everything, and the kids know more about the parents. Whenever I was a kid, I looked up to my parents for wisdom and knowledge, but kids nowadays, you see a commercial of this father who can barely tie his shoes, and this kid's like whipping around this phone or whatever and just showing his dad up. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, inconstant, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. That's it. Things are not getting easier. We have to be courageous, not only in what may happen. If you think of the macro view of it all, if our rights are invaded, I think of Nazi Germany. There were a lot of religious people who stood their guns whenever they were persecuted, and they died for it. Are we willing to die for our faith? Do we have the courage to stand up for it? That's a tough question, because we're sitting here comfortably. We don't have anybody pointing guns at us. And I'm not saying people are. I just want to make you aware of such things, especially with the ISIS situation. It's kind of crazy with what's going on over there, and seems to be coming over here too. I just want you to, if things would happen, to know that you'd be courageous for your faith. And that's a tough thing. We can't falter in that. We have to be strong. Did Rahab falter even though she was under danger? No. I think the best thing to do is, if you're in a tough situation, is remember the people who who had to go through these things. And this isn't just the macro view. This is also the micro view, too. This is having courage in, like, you know, coming here. We all had some level of courage of just coming here. This is courage of, you know, a father going to work every day for his family. You know, of a mother being loving. You know, everything takes courage. You know, this world is becoming so hate-filled. And we must have the courage to be loving despite the fact of what's going on around us. You look at other people in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their lives were at stake, but they didn't falter. They were willing to die for their beliefs. Amos was just a herdsman, a gatherer of sycamore trees, and he still stood his ground. He spoke out against the sins of Israel and was told to stop speaking about such things, but he kept on talking about it. He wouldn't give in. Just like in Hebrews 11, those with faith also have courage. You know, if we believe that we are people of faith, then we have to act upon that. Courage, the great thing about courage is the fact that it can be cultivated. You know, when a person is born, they don't come out. The doctor doesn't spank the baby's butt and say, oh, look, a beautiful baby courage or something. You know, it's courage is something that you have to work on. It's just not, it's not always something that, I mean, some people are more courageous than others, but it's something that you constantly have to work at. The people in the Bible are just regular people just like us. They had problems like us. But the nice thing is that most of them had courage in tough times. I think the question we all have to ask ourselves is, who do we want to be remembered as? Do we want to be remembered as, you know, a Rahab, someone who actually did something right? Or do you want to be known as maybe a Solomon who caved in when he shouldn't have? You know, we'll all be remembered somehow in this life. And, you know, years from now, people may be talking about us. And it's good to have a good report, to know that you're remembered for something good. We all can have courage to do something. We must have the courage to do it. The courage to say sorry whenever you're wrong. That's, like I said, it's not all about the big stuff. Sometimes it takes courage just to say that you messed up. Courage to speak truth even when it hurts. That's a tough one, because sometimes it's easier just to, you know, let them think a lie than to actually speak up and tell something to someone. The courage to serve others more than yourself. You know, it's easy to just think about ourselves all the time, and it's hard to, you know, look at other people and get out of that comfort zone and look to see what they need. The courage to love, even though the world is so full of hate and apathy. You know, to be different than others, to see what others are doing and do the opposite. Courage is all a part of our actions. And we must take the first step every day to act with courage, to step out in faith, to be a part of the few who do so. You know, the great thing is that we can trust in Yahweh for our strength in all these things. It's not like these motivational speakers that think that, you know, you have this great, awesome wellness from within. You just have to kind of, you're this giant within, and you just have to just bring it out into the world. We have Yahweh for our strength. We're not supposed to look to ourselves for strength. Yahweh is the one that we look to for all this. In Joshua 1, verses 5 to 7, here Israel is about to cross the Jordan, and Yahweh gives Joshua some instructions. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage." And I believe he's not just saying this to Joshua. I believe he says this to all. Yahweh says to you, "Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left hand or to the right, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." So Yahweh said this to Joshua, so he says it also to us, that we must not falter, we must not turn from the left or the right. You know, Joshua trusted in Yahweh, and they made it to the promised land. They did what they had to do. They were strong, they were courageous, and they were able to take the land. And because he trusted in Yahweh and acted accordingly, they were able to do great things. So also for us, we must do the same thing too. To remember that it's not about what everybody else is doing, it's what Yahweh wants us to do. Churchill, I decided to use a lot of Churchill quotes in this, but he had this famous speech that he gave to, I think it was some college kids, and this is probably one of his more well-known quotes, and he said, "Never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense." Let us never give in, let us never give up, let us stay true to Yahweh and trust in him. Because Yahweh wants us to be courageous. He wants us to keep on going despite the challenges. And may Yahweh bless you.